Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then after 14 years, this is Paul writing, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. Now, the purpose of taking Titus was a test. This was a test because Titus was not circumcised. And for many centuries, for a person to be accepted by God, they would have to be circumcised. And the 12 apostles whom Paul was going to meet with them in Jerusalem, although by now James had been executed, killed by Herod, the brother of John, the two sons of Zebedee. So now there would have been 11 of the 12. But Paul was going to meet them, and he was bringing Titus along as a litmus test. Are these guys going to force Titus to get circumcised? And so we'll find out what happened there. But this was Paul's second visit to Jerusalem. In his first one, he told us a few verses earlier, had come 3 years after he became a Christian. Now, if you read through in the book of Acts, some critics of the Bible, they say, oh, the Bible's filled with contradictions. And you read in Acts, and Paul gets saved, and immediately he goes to Jerusalem. And then you read in Galatians, where he becomes a Christian, and then it's 3 years before he goes to Jerusalem. If you want to find supposed contradictions in anything, you can. But whether they're there or not is another question. And the book of Acts is a history written by Luke of the early years of followers of Christ. And in any history, you tell a story. And in fact, through much of the book of Acts, Luke doesn't give explicit time periods and intervals in between events. So it's hard to see. One story follows another, and whether there was weeks or months or years between two stories is difficult. So there's no contradiction. And when you read it with that in mind, you go through Acts chapter 9. You see, no, there is no contradiction. Paul in Galatians fills in some of the chronology, some of the details of the passage of time. But when you compare the two, you really begin to understand a lot. And you could see why the Galatians, Paul marveled at how they could so quickly have been seduced into turning to another gospel. And he says two interesting things in the book. He says, even if I were to preach to you another gospel, don't believe it. And then later, he mentions this accusation in Galatians 5:11. He says, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? If I'm preaching circumcision, why are they harassing me? So what is he alluding to? He says, even if I preached another gospel, you shouldn't believe it. And he responds to this apparent accusation, even though it seems absurd, that I don't preach circumcision. If I did preach circumcision, then why would I be persecuted? Now, who in the world could think that Paul would preach circumcision? Paul stood for everything against circumcision. He opposed it vigorously. But it seems as though somebody came in to the believers throughout Galatia, in the cities of Galatia, a Roman province, and they made this argument that, hey, you guys, you got to be circumcised like the apostles in Jerusalem. You got to get serious. Maybe you don't have to do all these things, but if you want to be full-fledged members, followers of Christ, if you want to get the greater rewards and know the deeper truths, then you have to get circumcised and you have to keep the law. Now, maybe if you just want entrance and you don't want to be zealous for the Lord, maybe you don't have to do that stuff. But even Paul would tell you, if he was really honest with you, that you should be circumcised. And even Paul circumcised Timothy, and you yourselves know it. That's the argument that was being made to the Galatians. And even Paul brought with him the decrees of the 12 apostles from Jerusalem, showing you that you should keep some of the law. And that was a little bit that they wanted you to do, just a little bit, because they don't expect much of you. But if you believe that you can be full-fledged followers of Christ, then you should accept the entire gospel and the whole law. Now, how could they make such an argument? Well, when we go back to Luke wrote the book of Acts, we get the context of the epistles, because most of the epistles were written in the period that is covered, the history in the book of Acts. In fact, what I'm going to do, you might not want to turn there because it might be difficult to follow, but I'm going to start in Acts 13 and just run through a couple verses to see what happened with Paul and where did he go on his journeys and how might the Galatians have been so easily seduced by this notion that they now have to sort of go beyond grace and start keeping the law and being circumcised. Well, it starts out in Acts 13, Paul had four missionary journeys. And he kept going back to Galatia. And we'll look at maybe just very briefly parts of his first, second, and third missionary journeys. And each time, he goes to Galatia. Now, if you have a map in the back of your Bible handy, it might make sense to look at that rather than the short quotes that I'll be pulling from here and there out of Acts. And especially if you have a map that shows the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys, his first, second, third, and fourth journeys, often they show them with arrows and different colored lines. We're going to start out in Acts 13 that Paul was fellowshipping and ministering, teaching in the church in Antioch. And there could be slight confusion, but no real need for confusion, in that there were two Antiochs. There was one Antioch where Paul really was sort of like home base for him for much of his ministry. And that was, if you think about where Jerusalem is, and go from Jerusalem to the coast of the Mediterranean, which is not very far, and then go up north a little bit, you'll get to Caesarea. And then north from there, the coast towns of Tyre and Sidon. And north of there, you get to Antioch, like in the area of Syria, the Roman province of Syria. So that's one of his major home bases. But then over in what we call Turkey today, which was Asia Minor, you have another Antioch of Pisidia. And on Paul's missionary journeys, he hits both of them on a single journey. So he goes from Antioch and he goes to Cyprus and he goes to Antioch and he goes back to Cyprus and to Antioch. And it's like, boy, what do you keep going back, Paul? Are you homesick or something? Well, there's two Antiochs. So he's at the one Antioch that is sort of north of Israel, not in Turkey, but in the area of Lebanon today, northern Lebanon. And he is there with Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manan, and that last Manan had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch. And so Paul is there with all these guys. And the Holy Spirit says, separate to me Barnabas and Saul and send them out. And this is, I believe, the last time that the apostle is referred to as Saul. From here on out, his Jewish name is left behind. He's referred to as Paul with this chapter. But he says, separate them to me for the work to which I have called them. And they sent them out. They sent them away to go off on this missionary journey. And they start out, and just taking passages out of the text in Acts 13, first they went down to Seleucia, which is just a little bit south of Antioch on the coast. And then they get in a boat and they sail to Cyprus. And they arrive on the eastern end of Cyprus in a city called Salamis. And then they work their way, and they minister as they go. They work their way through the island, and they get to the western end of the island to a city called Paphos. They minister there, and then they head off. They get on a ship again. They set sail from Paphos, and they come to Perga in Asia Minor, which is what we would call Turkey today. Looks like the head of a turtle sticking out from Asia. So Paul is there, and then he ministers in Perga, which is in a district called Pamphylia. And then he heads north to Antioch. This is the second Antioch, the one in Pisidia. And I'll turn the page to see if I could spot any other geographic references. All right, now in Acts 14, they go to Iconium. All right, they were at Antioch, but some of the Jews were persecuting him, stirred up trouble against Paul. And so he and Barnabas shook the dust off their feet, and they came to Iconium. Now, Iconium is a city of Galatia. But for many years, that was forgotten because the Gauls, or the Celtics, or the Gauls, came down from Europe and settled in northern Turkey, in this, especially in the central plains. A very desolate area for the most part. They were the Gauls, and that's where the name Galatia came from. And they never really got down into southern Turkey. So Christians, especially in the last century, and before that also, they would try to understand Paul's journeys in the letter to the Galatians, and they'd look at the detailed maps of his missionary journeys, and they'd say, but he never got up there. He certainly didn't get up there in his first two missionary journeys. Maybe in his third, maybe he comes a little bit close, and he must have come close and then took a detour that we don't know about and really evangelized the churches in northern Galatia. And then he got back on track. Well, I had mentioned that I had ordered a book for this study that came in after we covered the material, but it's a brilliant book by William Ramsey, which I have here, Historical Commentary on Galatians. And Ramsey was an archaeologist who spent years doing incredible work in that part of the world, and specifically studying this ancient periods from centuries before Christ through the Roman era. And he found out, now it's fully documented, and this is not contested, that the Romans called this large area in the center of Turkey Galatia. And even though the Gauls were up north, they weren't very particular about ethnic borders. They called this whole large central region Galatia. And the cities of Iconium and Derbe and Lystra were in Galatia. So when Paul, in Acts 14, on his first missionary journey, it turns out he goes to Iconium right off the bat. On his first missionary journey, he's now in Galatia. And he goes from Iconium, he fled there after persecution, to Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding regions. And let's see, he departed Derbe, and then they returned to Lystra and Iconium, back to Antioch, like he's retracing his steps. And then they come through Pisidia, that's where Antioch is, and down to Pamphylia. And when they reach Perga, they end up sailing back to Antioch from where they had started. And that was Paul's first missionary journey. And on that first missionary journey, that's when he first, remember he says that he brought the gospel to the Galatians, and he marvels at how quickly they rejected it. And how could they have rejected it? Well, they seem to be buying this argument from some people that Paul was preaching circumcision, which to us seems absurd. But remember that the book of Galatians hadn't been written yet. In fact, none of Paul's epistles had been written. And so where could the Galatians get this idea that Paul had preached circumcision? He said, even if I were to change the gospel, don't believe it. Well, why would they have that idea that maybe Paul would have gone on to say, well, I was maybe a little zealous at the beginning, overly zealous for grace. Really, we should have some circumcision and law involved. Where would they get that idea? Well, Acts 15, that's the next chapter in Luke's chronology, in Luke's history. And in Acts 15, it's the Jerusalem Council that those of you who have been with us since the overview of the plot of the Bible know reasonably well. That's where Paul and the apostles and the elders got together to work out whether or not the Gentiles have to be circumcised and keep the law. And they end up saying in this chapter, they said, no, you don't. But would you Gentiles, Paul, would you agree, you Gentiles, your Gentile converts, will do four things for us? Keep some of the symbolic aspects of the law and tell them not to commit sexual immorality. Would you do these things? So Paul says, sure, we will. because he doesn't want to needlessly offend the Jews who they're trying to convert. So then they write this letter in Acts chapter 15, the apostles, the elders, and brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles. They write this letter and they say, you don't have to keep the law, just please do these few things. That was in Jerusalem. Now, if you have a map of Paul's second missionary journey, you'll see that it appears to begin and end in Jerusalem. And that's how Paul got to Jerusalem. It's for this meeting. When we get back to Galatians 2, we'll see that God revealed to Paul, he said, Paul, go to Jerusalem because you have to communicate the gospel you're preaching to the apostles. So Paul's here in Jerusalem in Acts 15. They write this letter, and then Paul and Barnabas go back up to Antioch for a time. They're teaching and preaching. And then after some days, I'll read verse 36 of Acts 15. Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. So if you look at your map of Paul's second missionary journey, you see that he doesn't go by ship right away through the Mediterranean, but he goes by land and he starts to hit all these same cities, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. Then he goes into what we call Greece today, the church at Philippi and Thessalonica and Athens and Corinth and Ephesus, back to Turkey and then to Caesarea and then back to Jerusalem. So he had gone to the Galatians on his first missionary journey. And what did he say? You are saved by faith alone through grace, and you do not have to keep the law. You do not have to get circumcised. So they're all, okay, cool. All right, this sounds great. We'll try it. We're Christians. Well, then Paul, sometime later, he goes to Jerusalem, and he gets this letter from the apostles and these decrees. All right, you guys don't have to keep the law, but just would you do these four things? Chapter 16, the next chapter. This is when Paul is just getting into his second missionary journey. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. So now he's in Galatia again. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Now again, you all should recall this story, because here's Paul right after the meeting in Jerusalem where the apostles say, no, you guys don't have to get circumcised. He takes Timothy and he circumcises him. Why does he do it? He says because he wants Timothy to go on with him in his journeys. And in every city, they'll go to the synagogues. And if he's bringing this guy who's not circumcised, there'll be a real disaster. So Paul is passing through on a second missionary journey to check up on all the churches. And when he gets to Galatia, what does he do? In Galatia, he circumcises Timothy. And as far as the Galatians are concerned, Paul's the big guy. And then here's Timothy who gets to go with the big guy. Paul really must admire Timothy. Paul wants Timothy to move into the inner circle, be one of those of authority, those entrusted with important aspects of Paul's ministry. And so they're seeing Paul, who said, you don't have to circumcise. And they see him circumcise Timothy. And you know what human beings are like, right? And how easy misunderstandings are created. So then the story goes on that Saul circumcised him in verse 3. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So now that's the second thing that seemed to contradict Paul's earlier message. First off, he circumcises Timothy. Second off, he says, hey, the apostles in Jerusalem asked you guys, would you do these things? And I said, yes, sure, we would. So they are trying to comprehend. Okay, and Paul probably said the right words. He probably said, now this doesn't mean we're under the law. We're only doing this to be nice to them and not to offend. But so would you keep these things? And Paul's gone. Now, that was the opening. That was the weak link. That was the Achilles heel for the Judaizers to attack and to begin to undermine Paul. And they came in and they said, don't you realize that Paul is not the ultimate authority here. It's the 12 in Jerusalem. They were the ones who spent 3 years with Jesus Christ. The whole Bible talks about Jerusalem, doesn't talk about Antioch or this Saul, doesn't talk about him, but it talks about, you know, there are 12 tribes and there are 12 apostles. That's our chief source of authority. And Paul was their messenger. So Paul went there with this meeting and he left and he brought their instructions for you guys. So they're the ultimate authority. Paul is subservient to them. And not only that, you guys think you don't have to circumcise? What did Paul do when he was right here, right in your midst with Timothy? What did he do? He circumcised them. Why did he circumcise them? They had a hard time. They were new in the faith. And this whole issue of law and grace is complicated because of what we're taught growing up. We're not taught the truth about these important issues, so it's confusing. So it was so easy for the Judaizers to come in, just like the devil came in, the serpent, in the Garden of Eden, and said to Eve, "Don't you want to be like God? If only you partake of this, you will be like God." And she was tricked. And that's what today people say. If only you partake of the law, if only you start keeping the law, you'll be like God. You'll be righteous. So keep the law. And that's what the Judaizers said to the Galatians. They said, sure, you're now followers of Jesus Christ, but do you want to be made perfect? Do you want to move into a more mature relationship with him? Do you want to really be one of the inner circle? Do you want to have Paul invite you on his next journey? If you do, you better follow the lead of the 12 in Jerusalem and circumcise. That's what you have to do. And so the Galatians were seduced. They were deceived by these Judaizers. And we could see how and why. What happened? It's an understandable confusion that they fell into. And so the end of Paul's second missionary journey comes in Acts 18 when he sails from Ephesus back to Caesarea. Then he briefly goes to visit the church in Jerusalem. That's his third stop in Jerusalem, and then he goes back to Antioch. In fact, his third missionary journey, after he spent some time there, he departed and went over all the region of Galatia and Phrygia. And so that's where, in the beginning of his third missionary journey, Christians see the word Galatia. Oh, there's Galatia. Paul went to Galatia in the third missionary journey. And that's where the whole story, they think, of Paul and the Galatians begins. So that's why so much of the book has for so long been in confusion. And it doesn't match up with the narrative in the book of Acts. But now, thanks to Ramsey, he wrote this book 100 years ago next year. Thanks to his work, we can understand, we know, that Paul went all through Galatia on his first two missionary journeys. And then again on his third, he headed out for Galatia. So, now let's go back to Galatians chapter 2. Paul writes, "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me." This taking of Titus was to test the 12 because he was uncircumcised. "And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." Now, Paul saying a very direct thing here. I went to Jerusalem by revelation. In other words, God told me to go. I went by revelation and communicated to them, to who? James, Peter, and John. He mentions them in a few verses. And I told them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. And after first getting an overview of the Bible, and then doing a study on Galatians, it's so much more comfortable and it's easy to see what he's talking about. Because up until then, the gospel had been, you have to be circumcised and keep the law. Now the gospel is, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. So that's the gospel. So Paul went to the 12 and he said, I'm not teaching they have to keep the law. I'm not teaching they have to be circumcised. I'm saying all they have to do is believe. And where in the book of Acts do we see the apostles having that discussion in Jerusalem? In Acts 15. That's where they have that big discussion. And they work it all out. And as Paul goes on to explain here, the apostles agreed with him. They gave him their approval. If you take a novice, a beginner to the Bible, and read Galatians and read Acts, yeah, that's when that happened. But it takes a theologian to mess it all up. It's a very straightforward story. So Paul went there and said, hey, I'm preaching a gospel of grace alone. No works, no law, no circumcision. But I did so privately to those who were of reputation. Who does he mean? Well, to the leaders, to the apostles, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. And the difference there between I might run or I had run in vain, the only difference is the tense of the verb, right? That I might run is a present, and that I had run is an aorist. And I just bring that up because a little later in this first half of chapter 2, I'll point out a couple verb tenses. And Paul is quite often very particular and careful with verb tenses. In the first 10 verses of this chapter, I think all he uses are three tenses. The present, the what we often call past, which in Greek is the imperfect. I think we could use that term in English too. And then the aorist. And what is the aorist? It's like a past tense, only it emphasizes a point action. Something that you could take as a whole, as one point. That's the word punctiliar is used to describe the aorist. So Paul uses those three verb tenses throughout. So now let's continue in verse 3. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So Paul is, in a manner, celebrating here. This was a great victory. Yet, he says, yet not even Titus was compelled to be circumcised. We won. The apostles agreed with us. They supported us. So in a way, they won too. But they didn't try to force us to give in on grace and to go back under the law. We were victorious. But this occurred because of false brethren. Now, not the victory. Paul's going to explain, why did this meeting occur in the first place? Why did God give this revelation to Paul? Well, this occurred, and to go to Jerusalem, this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So Paul, after his second missionary journey, started from Jerusalem, after the Jerusalem Council, he goes through Galatia and Greece and back to Jerusalem, then he goes right back to Antioch, it says in Luke. And then he's there ministering, teaching, building up the church. And so these guys sort of sneak in. They sneak in to spy on Paul and see, what is he really teaching? They want him to preach circumcision and the law. And they see that he's not. So they send word back to Jerusalem, perhaps, you guys need to check out the situation. Even though intellectually they know what the situation should be. Paul is doing exactly what he should do. But it's hard to get people who've been committed, like their entire life is dedicated, zealous for the law. It's hard to get them to pull back. Say, okay, hands off. You guys don't have to do that.